Well, good morning to you. Welcome this morning. Happy Father's Day, dads, and praise the Lord for such a great privilege to be a dad. And just want to remind you, we've come here to worship our Father in heaven, and want to point to Him foremost. But we do want to acknowledge and recognize dads, and we will do that in the course of our service this morning. We do have a few announcements. There will be a fifth Sunday in June, and so we have a fifth Sunday sing planned. If you are interested in presenting a song, scripture, testimony, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, and maybe this will get you here. There's an ice cream fellowship afterwards. So if you like ice cream, be the place to be. This morning, in the course of our worship time also, as we take up an offering, we will be including a hunger offering for Texas Baptist, hunger offering through the BGCT, and this is to feed hungry people in Texas. And so we've announced this for a couple of weeks. Hopefully you're prepared. The Lord's laid something on your heart to give. There are some envelopes available in the pew backs there. There are also some on the desk out in the foyer if you need one of those. Next Sunday at 5:30 in the evening, we will have church conference. This will be the second vote on the proposed constitution and bylaws that the Bylaws and Constitution Committee have been working on for the last almost 2 years. And so be sure you're here for that important part of our church life. Read your bulletin, because there are details there that I did not cover and will not taking time here, but you will need to know. We do have a new memory verse for the month of June, and this is our third week. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll be looking at quoting James 4:7. James writes, "Submit therefore to God." Join me. "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James 4:7. Last week, as we talked about this, the submission to God is the first and foremost. Yield to Him as Lord. He is the Lord over all things. So yield yourself to Him, and in doing so, you'll be empowered and enabled to resist the evil one who comes against you. And then when that guy gets tired of messing with you, he will go on. And so trust the Lord, submit to Him, and resist whatever the devil throws at you. The Lord enables you to do that so that you're not overcome by him. God bless you. Maybe seated at this time, I would ask Robert Clay to come as our deacon of the week, and he will pray for us this morning.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father God, you are Father, Lord. You are great. You are holy. You are the Father, God. Every day is your day, Father, because you made all days. You made all, Lord. We thank you for making us, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for letting us be a part of your plan, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this church body, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the camps and the different places that the kids are going this week, Lord, and the sponsors, Lord. And we ask it for your safety, Lord, and traveling and for you to do mighty things, Lord. Lord, we ask that we as a church body and individually, Lord, that we be in your will, Lord, that we do things the way, your way, Lord. And just speak through Brother Robert this morning, Lord, and bring us your message, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I appreciate Brother Houston giving us opportunities to pay tribute. We should acknowledge that we've had human fathers, and it's a high calling. Sometimes those human fathers aren't perfect, as you heard in the video, but we do have those pointed over us to care for us, and when they do their job well, we are blessed. And some of you have fathers that have passed off the scene. My own dad died several years ago, 14 or so, 20 some years ago now, my wife reminds me. And there's probably not a day goes by I don't think about him in some way or another, and I know you don't either. I would ask you, if your father has passed, please stand so I can pray a special prayer for you at this time. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge you today, as we have already, but will continue through this morning, as our Father in heaven. And Lord God, your provision is more than sufficient through Christ Jesus, by your grace, through faith in his word. And Lord God, you implant your spirit inside of us. You give us the truth of your word so that we might be able to follow you and reflect you as best as we can. We know we fail at that. But we thank you, Father, that you hear from your place in glory. And that, Lord God, you are mindful of perhaps some grief that we have today, loss that we experience because our fathers have passed. And Lord, we pray a special comfort, a special presence, a special strength and peace as we go through this day and reflect on many of the lessons that we received and learned to your glory. Father God, bless these who are standing now. And Lord God, accompany them through this day. As we trust you, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right. Dads, stand up. Some dads are still standing. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you dads. This morning, the message will be directed to you, but also to your children. And I thank you for the task that you've taken on. It is a godly task. It is a task that God assigned you to do. And it's a very important task. Thank you for being invested in your families, in your children especially. Let's pray. Father, I lift these men up to you, and I thank you that you have given us a high calling. And Lord God, you called us to reflect your character in ministering to the children that you've entrusted to our care. Sometimes those children are neighbors' children, and sometimes they're church kids, and sometimes, Father, they're kids in our neighborhood. But, Father, you have given us an entrustment, and we pray that we are faithful to you. Thank you for your spirit, truth of your word. Again, thank you, Father, for the investment you've made in us so that we might indeed be useful and helpful. And Father God, bringing glory to your name through this task of fatherhood. I pray you bless these men, surround them with love. Lord God, may they experience sweet reflections. And Lord God, just wrap them up in yourself so that they are blessed through this day. I pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless you, men.
Would you all please stand as we are. As we sing our first hymn, Stand Up for Jesus.
Suffer loss from victory. just so thankful to be here today. We're thankful for our fathers. We're so thankful for our Father in heaven. Just pray that we would look to you as our wisdom to be fathers and to look for fathers. We just thank you for this service today. We thank you for each one here. We just pray that you would be with all of our ministries that are going on this week, with the kids that are traveling. We just ask that you be with the message today. Just may it lead some lost soul to Christ. Again, we're thankful to be here. We ask that you bless and keep us as we go. Forgive us for all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Think your life that I've heard the tears. who I am is who I am.
Appreciate Houston and the choir leading us this morning, and those at the instruments keeping us on tune. Over the last couple of weeks, and thinking about Father's Day, trying to think, how do you present Father's Day message, still point to the Father in heaven, encourage men and fathers in the sanctuary on a given Sunday? And I, a couple of weeks ago, heard a comment on a podcast addressing the issue of fathers, and he said something to this effect. I won't get it verbatim, but he was said to think about the significance of the fact that fathers have been appointed to be identified with the same title as our God in heaven, Father. It seems to put a greater significance upon the role, that it's not just the guy who brings children into the world and that's it. There's more included. Our God in heaven doesn't just give us life. He provides everything we need for life, especially for salvation. There's no provision for salvation that we can drum up and come about ourselves. It must come from God in heaven. And the same is true for the way that we minister to our children, those entrusted to our care. And as I mentioned in prayer earlier, and they may be somebody else's children. They may be children that come and play with your kids. But we have an entrustment before us. God doesn't leave any of his children out when he's ministering to them. And we are called with a great responsibility as men and fathers. And I'll say this, it's a high calling. It's a noble assignment. It's a humble challenge. And as I've reflected and thought about how many times I misrepresented the Lord in my role as a father toward my own children, I'm grateful that there is a balance there where for some moments I did well, and that the Lord still, in spite of me, used me to help raise up children that would love the Lord, would follow after him, would seek godly spouses, and would raise up godly children. Those things are a reward to a dad. And I praise the Lord that he allowed me to have that experience. Being a parent's hard. Listen, being a mother, I don't know how mothers and wives do it. My wife had three children, essentially, because I was one of them. Two daughters and me. And she's had to put up with a lot, and the other two kids left home. The third one's still there. And with all of that, fathers have this responsibility, and biblically speaking, to be the priest of the home, to be the one who's the provider, to be the protector, to make sure that that group, that generation, is raised up in the fear and the instruction of God. That's a giant responsibility. And at times, I know it weighed heavy on me, and I know it will weigh heavy on some of you who are conscientious about this role. But I want us to rest in the provision of the Lord this morning. He gives us this section of Scripture called the Wisdom Writings, and in it, the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at two verses this morning and see how they apply to fatherhood. And there will be some instruction there I pray is helpful. So let's stand together as we read these two verses out of Proverbs 27, verses 17 and 18. Iron sharpens iron, verse 17. So one man sharpens another. He who tends the fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who cares for his master will be honored. Father, I pray wisdom from the wisdom writings. As we reflect upon this high calling of fatherhood, and certainly we take our prompts from our Father in heaven, I pray that we're serious about that, Lord God, to be as much like you as we can. Lord God, I pray this morning your Spirit have freedom to move in and through us, through the truth of these words, that, Lord God, it impacts our hearts to be better as than we have been. And Lord God, thank you for such a privilege. We need you to walk with us to do it well. So Father, we entrust our own souls to you this morning. We pray for your will. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So two simple verses, and some may be saying, what does this have to do with fathers? Well, I hope to tell you. There's encouragement, there's instruction for those who have ears to hear. That is the same about every piece of scripture that can be presented to us. We need to have ears to hear. And when you read from the book of Proverbs, there's special care to be taken there. It's wisdom writings, and some of the sections will utilize several verses to introduce and explain one topic. The majority of the Proverbs letter are random contrasts and comparisons, whereby they may not be found in a context that will give greater light to them. And I think this is the wisdom of God giving us wisdom writings that may be difficult to read and understand without having to study them further, to meditate upon them, and then to look for other wisdom writings that support that principal truth. Even greater than that, there may be some writings in the Proverbs that you read and you go, what does this have to do with anything? But if you look at the whole of Scripture and you examine and follow cross references and study, you'll find God's Word supports this truth. It's no mistake that there are 31 Proverbs, so that you can read one a day every month and be filled with wisdom. As you read them, some of those words begin to take root and they begin to grow and they begin to bring understanding as you're living life. You may not have time to do that. Read one verse every day for the whole year. Read out of the wisdom book of Proverbs. It is a strongly powerful text that God has made available to believers. And as we look at it, and I submit to you this morning, these two verses can be appropriately applied to the topic of fatherhood if we will listen closely. Verse 17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is usually very popular among men's groups, Bible studies where men are gathered together. We take this verse literally. We are called to be those who help one another grow in the faith. We hold each other accountable. We walk with one another through the joys and through the sorrows. We help to sharpen each other to be better men, better husbands, better fathers, better friends. It is a manly verse, and yes, women, you can glean from this as well, because as women come together, they do the same thing. They study God's Word, they sharpen one another, they hold each other accountable, they listen to one another, they weep with one another, they take rejoicing with one another. This is a universal verse. It just happens to say men sharpen one another. Humanity sharpens one another. Part of the joy of the Christian life is a biblical fellowship. And a biblical fellowship is not just coming together to eat cake and to have a good time and talk about the weather. Biblical fellowship is to invest in each other's life, to learn where our loved one, our brother in the faith, is walking in a difficult season. And we're able to engage and pray and commit to help them and maybe show up with a bag of groceries for somebody that's struggling without a job. The Lord provides us a biblical fellowship for ministry's sake. It is not just for a time for coffee and cake. It is a time for us to invest and learn of one another and have opportunity to minister to one another. That's what this verse is talking about. Iron sharpens iron. Anytime we come together, we have opportunity to do that. Man, especially with our children. Listen, men and women, when the opportunity comes where you have your children around you, sometimes, oh my gosh, I'm going to hang out with the kids today. That's kind of how we act. The reality is God's given you an opportunity to be able to invest in your children, to show them things that maybe they wouldn't know. The dad on there helping his son cut a piece of fruit. Listen, we want to teach our boys how to handle a knife right, correct? So help them. Instead of saying, no, you can't touch a knife till you get of a certain age, show them how to use a knife so they can use it. You may not be around. They may need to use a knife when you're not there, Dad. We become a society. If you can't wear a helmet and put on elbow pads and knee pads, you can't do anything. We fell off of bikes and off of roofs and everything else when we were kids. You learn to survive. Yes, watch over your children. Don't be foolish. But the opportunities for teaching are, they're out there. And any opportunity you get is an opportunity that God is giving you to invest, to sharpen. What is that process of iron sharpening iron anyway? It's a picture of that of a blacksmith. He takes a piece of iron and he desires to reshape it into a particular implement or tool. So he puts it in an intense fire and he causes it to become soft, malleable, so it's able to be reshaped. And the shaping really comes as a blacksmith then takes an iron hammer and he takes this heated piece of iron and he puts it against an iron anvil and he begins to beat it into a particular shape, a desired shape. And he beats on it till he gets it into the shape. And when he thinks he's got it there, he dips it in a big bucket of water to cool the iron off and to let the iron set in that shape. And should he pull it out and it's not the shape he wants, guess what he can do? Puts it back in the fire and he heats it up until it becomes soft again. And then he takes that iron hammer and he puts it on an iron anvil and he begins to beat it again until he gets it into the right shape, the desired shape, the perfect shape. That's a hard process. And you think, I want to sharpen my children. It's not going to be easy. You think, oh, how many times do I have to tell this kid this particular lesson and they still mess it up? You're going to have to dip them in the fire and beat them again. Now listen, if you go out of here beating your kids, shame on you. The idea is they have to be shaped. It's not a once time and done situation. It's a lifetime of work. My kids are 40 and 38. We're still shaping them. It never quits. It is a marvelous privilege to do that. When your adult child calls you and says, Dad, I need some advice on this. I'm dealing with this. How do we handle that? It's an honor that they would think to come to me. As good a job I did on you and you're calling me for this advice. But it comes around. When you're faithful and you follow the precepts of the Lord and you invest and you know the process is hard. And listen, children, your parents love you. They would not invest in you. If they didn't care about you, they wouldn't grab your arm out of socket and pull you out of the road when a car's coming by. They just let you run out there and get squashed by a car. But they love you. It's easier to repair an arm pulled out of socket than it is a whole body that's been squashed under a car. Love sometimes is hard. And your parents love you. They want you to grow up and to have joy and the best experiences in life. And they will be investing in you and you should count that a blessing. My dad was out of the home by the time I was 10 years old, and there was little to no investment from my dad into my life. But God surrounded me with men. And I didn't realize it at the time, but he was shaping me through these men and the relationships we had. Men, fathers in particular, as male beings, have a similar approach to that of the blacksmith in teaching and forging your children. There are times when you have to permit your child to make some really bad mistakes to learn certain lessons within the parameters of making sure that their well-being is taken care of. It's a privilege that God would give us to do that. And men, exercise wisdom and be sure that you're investing appropriately in your children. Children need their fathers to invest his wisdom and experience in their lives. I'm amazed at how many times I have watched somebody walk. There's the particular guy in the city I'm not going to talk about, but I see his son out with his wife, and I know who that child belongs to because he walks just like his daddy. Same characteristics. And even before I knew he was his child, I go, man, he sure walks like so-and-so. Found out that's true. We take on characteristics. We become like them because we catch more than we learn, as it were. We learn it by catching it. But we find that it's important for us as adults, as fathers, to invest appropriately and wisely. In the Old Testament, the Jews were emphatic about raising up children appropriately. In chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord's our God. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I'm commanding you," and Moses was giving the law that God was giving to him, and all the extras that came with that law. "And these words I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you should teach them diligently to your sons, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Should always be on your mouth, the truth of God's word, investing truth in children. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead." And they literally did that. They wrote a law, put it in a little box, and put it on their arms, and put a little bandana on, and put a box of the law there. What God really wants us to do is take the Word of God and put it in our minds, because that's where we get transformed. Remember your VBS memory verse this year is by the renewing of your mind. Right? You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. So truth on our foreheads, and let the truth be done by your hands. What you believe, put that into action. Your children will catch that. The words that come out of your mouth, the attitudes that you have towards your wife, towards your children, towards your neighbors, they will catch all of that. And that was instruction laid down at the beginning of Jewish life. You can be sure that the Lord desires for us to carry on that kind of spiritual education today. It's a privilege to be able to join God in this matter. The Lord provides the teaching material, which is the Bible. He supplies the wisdom, which comes through the Holy Spirit. And then He provides us with children or an audience. It may be your coworkers, your friends, neighbors, church members, whatever. And then He sends us forth with assignment. Men, be faithful. You've been called to a high calling to sharpen one another. And what about verse 18, Brother Robert? "He who tends the fig tree will eat its fruit. He who cares for his master will be honored." I think as we think about this topic of fatherhood, whoever invests wisely in his children will bear fruit from it and will be able to eat of that fruit. When you have invested in your child and your child grows up loving the Lord the way you do, seeing that service to the Lord's important, treating other people the way God calls us to treat other people is important to them, you will bear the fruit of that. It'll be a joy to you. There are several proverbs that talk about how a foolish son brings grief to his mother and it destroys his father's heart. But one who's been invested in and walks wisely, it's a joy to the father. It's a joy to the one who invested in his life and saw it take root and begin to bear forth some fruit. It's wise. There's a good return on sharpening your children, teaching them the ways of God's Word. And I appreciate those of you who do that faithfully. When you model, train your child to trust God, to worship God, serve God, honor parents, love your neighbors like yourself, all of that, when you see your child living it out, will become a joy to your heart. And you see them exercising the gifts God's poured out into their hearts, and you've invested in honing those gifts, it'll be a joy to your heart. When you see them find a spouse that loves the Lord God and begins to raise your grandchildren in the fear of the Lord, it will be a joy to your heart. It's a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. And this last part here, listen, students, children, "He who cares for his master will be honored." The way I see that in this topic we're covering. Your parents are your master. For a season, your parents are your king, ruler. Now, they are sub-rulers under the Lord God. But they are the ones who rule you, and there will come a day. Notice what this says. He who cares for his master will be honored. There's going to come a day when you will have the opportunity, the privilege, to care for the one who cared for you. Now listen, it's going to be, I hope, some time, but I've gone through that season. My wife and I both, many of you have. The one who invested in your life, your parents, they did everything for you. And now there's a season where the tables have turned and now you become the parent and you care for that one who cared for you all those years. Now they become feeble, or perhaps the mind has gone a different direction, or the physical abilities are not there anymore. Now comes the time where you honor the master by reciprocating the way they minister to you. Now you minister to them. And some of you, it may be a while before that even comes into the picture, but remember this, the investment they're making in you today is not a selfish one so one day you'll turn around and feed them. It is one that will bless your heart, and when that time comes, you are more than happy to serve your parent the way they serve you, seeing it as a privilege. I found another verse in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 that says, God's eyes are always on mankind, the good and the wicked. There's not a time God doesn't see what you're doing or know what you're thinking or what you're speaking. God knows it all, the good and the bad. God's alert to it. But God is a God who has sent his son to die for our sins. And when we have not done things well or perfectly, he forgives. He has provided that through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus who was offered on the cross. Jesus never lied. Jesus never told a lie. Jesus never did wrong. Jesus never mistreated anybody. Jesus was holy, perfect, sinless. And when he died on that cross, he was doing it as a sacrifice that no one else could offer to the God the Father so that we might find forgiveness in Jesus if we'll trust him. And the Father was pleased and raised Jesus back to life, even brought him to himself to be seated there beside the Father so he can bring intercessions on behalf of those who love him. And Jesus continues to serve until the day he will come back again and finally do away with wickedness. But the Father orchestrated all of this. If you have any doubt, look at John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his son. We have a good God in heaven. A good Father in heaven. Jesus told a parable one time. Most of you know it. It's found in Luke 15, verses 11 through the rest of the chapter. But it's the parable of the prodigal son. And without going in there and reading all the details, let me summarize as best I can. The parable was a sharp rebuke against the Pharisees and the scribes who were accusing Jesus of being a fool for going and sitting with sinners and hanging out with sinners all the time. By the end of the parable, there's no mistaking that the rejection of the older son regarding his repentant brother is a story that put the religious leaders in a bad light. That's the main idea of the parable. Their reluctance to receive or associate with minister and minister to the broken and lowly sinners, as Jesus often did, was their greatest shortcoming. And Jesus pointed it out publicly. And that stemmed from their lack of true trust and devotion and obedience to the Father in heaven. But when we look at this story, you see a father who apparently sufficiently provided for his sons. And the best we can tell is he gave them opportunities to mature, be a part of the family business, to learn the trade. And the younger son comes up and demands his inheritance before his father passed away, which was really tantamount to saying, I wish you were dead. But the father graciously granted the request, permitted his son to take that portion that was passed on to him, and he left home. Not even just home, but he left the country. He went to a foreign land. And while he was there, he foolishly squandered his inheritance on raucous living. While suffering consequences of his new experience in poverty, he contemplated his situation, concluded he'd be better off as a slave to his father than to endure what he was experiencing. And so, as the parable reveals, this young man went back to his father, humbled, broken, repentant. And the real beauty of this entire parable is that the father apparently had been looking for his son every day since his son left. And the day came when he saw his son coming in the entrance of the property. And Jesus described it this way: this father ran to his son, an indignity by a father, a Jewish father, one who was an adult. He ran to his son. He fell on his feet and he kissed him and he embraced him and he would not let him go. The scripture reminds us that while all of this was going on, the son said, "Father, I'm not worthy to be anything but a slave to you." And before the son could finish all that he was saying, the father reinstated him as a son, put on his robe and the ring and the sandals, and gave him back his place. What a gracious father. Jesus was talking about the Father in heaven. And all the Pharisees and scribes had to do was trust this God. Trust that that's who Jesus came to proclaim and to lead souls to. But they refused. And God had done everything good. That's what's so sad about the son who would not go into the party because his brother came home. And as the father said, "Come in and rejoice with us. This brother of yours, this son of mine, was lost. Now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive." And the son says, "I'm not coming in there. Why haven't you done this for me?" He had the same provisions the other boy had. In fact, he had double. This was the older son. He got 2/3 of the inheritance, not just 1/3. He was rich, but he was poor in spirit because he didn't identify his father as the one who supplied everything he needed. Why that story? The role of fathers, and in this parable, was sufficient to bring a wayward son back home. Fathers, your role as a priest and a teacher in your home and a model is of eternal importance. And surely there are parents who have invested and done well and their children have gone astray. You cannot control that, but you can control your responsibility. And your responsibility is to be faithful to the Father in heaven who's been faithful to you. Listen, fathers, thank you for teaching your children. Thank you for being available. Thank you for investing. Thank you for making their world important. Do everything you can to honor your Father in heaven who's done the same for you. That's your role. That's your biggest responsibility. The rest of it's really in the hands of God, and as your children grow up, what choices will they make? You can't control that. Listen, children, as you have opportunity to hear the voice of God speak into your life through your parents as they invest in you, cherish it. Love it. Be glad you have it, because not every kid gets that. Appreciate your parents. Love them. Express your love to them. They deserve it and they're worthy of it. But most of all, the Father in heaven is worthy of our response of praise and gratitude, thanksgiving, and of service and obedience and trust. Because think of what he's invested in us, children of God. We have no greater father. Our earthly fathers are grand, but our Father in heaven is supreme. We should honor him. Faithful obedience. Looking to emulate him as much as we can. I want to walk like my Father in heaven. So when people look at me, they go, "Whew, he's walking like his daddy." And all you have to do is yield to His Spirit and the truth of His Word that He's already supplied. It's a marvelous blessing. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would tell you, listen, you can do all the best and greatest things in the world, and you might raise a good kid, but you will miss out on the vision of the Father in heaven who desires to invest in your life. He will enhance everything you can do for your child. You can never do it as good as the Father in heaven can through you. I would encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ, fall upon His grace. Acknowledge your sin. Recognize His sacrifice through Christ to pay the price of it because you couldn't, and to offer you life eternal. It's a blessing. And once you know that, He puts everything else in place. When Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you," I have no doubt He was including our responsibility as parents and as family members, as sons of God. Let us be faithful. Thank you, dads, for investing. Thank you, grandpas, for investing. Thank you, children, for loving your parents. Show them that today. Let's pray. Father, as we reflect now and respond upon what we've heard, the truth of your word, I pray, Father, that we will be found faithful in responding, glorifying your name. God, that you will be exalted. We love you. Thank you now for your Spirit that will move in our midst to draw us near to you. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The altar will be open if you need to come deal with the Lord. I'll be here to pray with you. But let's stand. Let's take time to respond, and then we'll be dismissed. That was kind of quick. That wasn't his fault. It was my fault. Please be seated for just a couple of moments. We do have a couple of reports for you. We can fill that out in just a moment. You'll keep the pens there. I want y'all to come stand by me. I want to get their names right. Kaylin and Caroline Floyd. And they come this morning in tandem, but individually professing that they have trusted Christ as Savior and they desire to follow Him in baptism. And so, yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. As I do with most children, I go, okay, as soon as you get baptized, you know, everybody's going to be watching you. Make sure it took, right? And they're like, yeah. I said, are you ready? Yes. So they seem to be primed and ready. And, of course, we'll have a time of counseling where we talk before baptism. So we're excited about this. You girls, be seated here. As soon as the service is concluded, then come stand back up here so Brother Houston and us can come by and shake your hand and welcome you. Family members are invited to come stand by them if they'd like to, but have a seat for now. All right. I'll see you outside. No evening service tonight. Enjoy your families. God bless.
Let's stand as we close with the family of God.